What's up, everybody? December 15th, 2020. Welcome to the 21st episode of the Personal Dating Assistance Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Violette, live from Local Cove in my town. If you hear any noise, don't be alarmed. It's either my car, or it's some seagulls, or it's the wind. Just at the car, parked at the cove. I don't know, checking out the water, recording this podcast. Life's good. Today's episode, I'm going to dive into a little situation of... not my situation, but a current member. Current member's having a little situation. We worked years ago together. And then he started dating one of the women I found for him on Match.com. Dating for about 2 years-ish. Fast forward to October of this year. Turns out they were having a little bit of trouble. This episode, I'm going to go over what happened, what's happening now, what could happen based on the choices he makes, and what I think he should do. But before we get into that, PersonalDatingAssistance.com is designed to help people with their online dating experience. Online dating is more popular now than it's ever been. Therefore, there's no better time than now to need that edge over the competition. According to eHarmony, 1 in 5 online daters have asked someone else to help write or review their profile. Female users are seeking help more so than men are. Precisely 30% of female users have asked for help with their profile, whereas 15% of male users have asked for help with theirs. So guys, we're behind the curve, and this is where personal dating assistants come in. PersonalDatingAssistance.com. We want to help get you that date by making sure the world sees the very best version of yourself. Your monthly subscription allows us to take over your online dating profile. We will write your bio. We will help you message those who we think you would like us to target. And all of this is based on what we call a personality deep dive. The personality deep dive is an interview where we learn about you and we can help bring out your most attractive qualities. Also, for no extra cost, we're available for coaching, consultation, and we even give you photographer referrals. We're here to help find dates for the person that has those 100-hour work weeks, just doesn't have the time to send out all those incessant messages. Or for the one who doesn't really have a grasp on what works best for finding a date. This podcast will feature a different analysis each week taken from actual online conversations from the archives of members who have signed up for our service. Of course, for the sake of privacy, the real names will never be disclosed, so I'll be switching every client's name either to Tom or to Julia. On each episode, I will be discussing strategy on how to 1. Open a conversation, 2. How to keep them hooked, 3. How to avoid the other mistakes that other people make, and 4. How to close a conversation and earn yourself a phone number. All this will be based on a bunch of different factors, such as momentum of the conversation itself, the type of person you're chatting with, the time of day, etc. All right, so like I said, this week we're not necessarily going to be doing that. We're going to be talking more so about the situation my current member is in. There's a lot for me to remember. I'm going to try to give you as much information as I could and hope to get feedback on next week's episode. I want you guys to write in. Let me know what you think he should do. Whether my advice was spot on. I want to hear from you. So let's get right into it. All right, so fast forward to October. I get a text message from my former client. His name, we'll call him Tom. He said he's been in a bit of a bumpy patch with his current girlfriend, and he needed some advice. So he texts me, and he gives me the rundown of everything that happened. And I'm going to try to portray this as best as I can with every detail of I can, because I feel like it's all very important. So apparently in the last couple months he broke both of his feet, and they've been having a little bit of that's caused a bit of a dent in their relationship. The mobility, you know, maybe her trying to take care of him a little bit, he hasn't been as mobile. Fast forward to one night, he got out of the shower. He had towels on the ground to step on so he didn't slip. He left the house. He forgot to put the towels away. Instead of her kind of doing it himself, she chastised him, gave him a text, yelled at him about the towels. Okay, so something as little as the towels. It sounds like there's a lot more going on than is more than just towels. Okay, so they're arguing about it. On the way to go visit, I believe her parents are going to dinner. He started to get really fired up. He pulled over to the side of the road and claims he had an out-of-body experience where his anxiety took over. I believe it was a panic attack, and he didn't really know what to do. He felt a little better. She's still in the car. She's never really seen him in this state before, and it's kind of an awkward moment for the both of them. Fast forward, they go to the gas station. He's pumping gas, and it happens again, only this time a little bit more serious. So they don't go to their parents' house. They go home. He's on the floor crying. He's upset. This is pretty traumatic for him. Doesn't really know what to do. They're arguing. He's upset. He wants to be by himself. He tells her to call her dad, parents, both parents, to come pick her up. He wants to be by himself. They, parents come over. They see him on the floor crying. They don't really know what happened. They take her, bring her to their house. He's by himself. He talks to some friends, and they bring him to go talk to someone at a crisis center. Then last thing he remembers, he wakes up in a hospital bed, strapped into the sides. And supposedly he was a involuntary patient. Involuntary patient, I think it's called. So he took a sedative, was not really himself. He signed some stuff to be locked into the hospital, ends up in a psych ward. He talks to the doctor. They run some tests, said he's fine. He wants more tests. The doctor says they're going to get a second doctor's opinion. He requests to find out how much he owes while he's at the hospital before he signs up for any more tests. They refuse to tell him. He says, what happens next? He says he wants to just go. He's not going to get any more tests done without them telling him how much he owes, you know, because it's expensive to be in the hospital. They told him, if he steps one foot out the door, he's going to be arrested. I don't remember why. Maybe because he was under the influence of medication or something. He's not fit to drive, or he's just refusing to pay the bill. I don't really know. So he finds an attorney. Venmo's $500. Attorney gets him out of the hospital. This is all pretty traumatic for him. Lots happened in like the past 2 weeks. He was working, from what I hear, 5 a.m. until midnight some nights between the two or three jobs, coaching, teaching, something else too, I forget. But his days were pretty jam-packed, and, you know, they're taking a toll on his relationship. And then this stuff happened. So, yeah, he's getting panic attacks. They're pretty bad. And all of a sudden he wakes up in a psych ward. It's pretty traumatic stuff. So girlfriend, meanwhile, she hasn't been on her medication in recent months. She has a history of depression. Her parents are on board for her getting off of it, trying something new, but she hasn't had the energy to go and find new ones. So she's been off medication for 2 or 3 months now, toward the leading up to this moment. So she hasn't really been herself. She's been participating in some erratic behavior, irritable. So her depression and my client's anxiety, tough mix. Okay. So he's telling me all this, and he's looking for some advice on what to do. Trying to think if there's anything else that I'm forgetting. It's all pretty heavy stuff. I said that he's got a lot on his plate. Now, he needs to kind of cool it. He needs to stop worrying about her. He needs to just focus on himself. And I know that's such a cliche thing to say, but you know, with those 2-3 jobs, all of a sudden he's ripped out. He needs to take care of that. He needs to figure out his hospital bill. He has to find the right medication. He has to talk to a therapist. He has to figure himself out. So imagine trying to do with that, and the toll it takes on your body, and trying to balance another human being too, that's not even her right state of mind too. I mean, she's struggling with depression as well. Okay. So that's a lot on his plate. So I'm trying to tell him it's not fair for you or for her to try to make this relationship work right now. I'm not saying it's never going to work, but right now, when either one of you being on the right medication, in addition to her parents talking in your ear, seeing you at your lowest and not giving you the benefit of the doubt and telling you that you need to find therapy, you need medication, you need to work on yourself and stay away from their daughter, that's not helping. Oh, another big thing. Well, we'll get to that in a second. Okay, so I told him, so for a couple weeks, you know, he hasn't been, you know, on the dating website just yet, but, you know, every once in a while he'd ask me, you know, should he reach out to her? Should he apologize? He wants to get back with together with so bad. And I'm not never trying to minimize that. I recognize that, you know, you want to be with her. But I told him, you basically have three options. I'll try to give you some perspective on what they are and what could happen. Okay. Before I do that, throughout this whole thing, she's still in heavy contact with his mother all the time, texting his mother that she loves her son, checking in on him, not talking to my client, but blocked him on Facebook, email, and his phone number, not communicating with him, saying that, you know, they shouldn't do couples therapy. They need to work out for themselves. And before, you know, they even do that, I told him, before she's even going to suggest a breakup, I told him to beat her to the punch, and he ended it with her, okay? But then he's still asking me, you know, I want to get back together with her now. What should I do? Is the biggest mistake to break up with her? You know, so there's a lot going on, right? There's a lot of variables, a lot of things to consider. So a huge part of this whole thing is that she keeps on talking to his mother. Now, her argument is she has a good relationship with the mother, and why would she not talk to her? And the mother says the same thing. And my whole thing is, sounds a lot like that my client's mother is really siding with the ex-girlfriend. Why is it okay for her to be doing that? I think it's manipulative. I think it's evil. I guess I can't necessarily blame her if she's not in the right state of mind. But if I do, sounds like she stinks, right? So anyway, I gave him some perspective on his options here, what he could do now, considering he's not working. He's trying to find a therapist. She's still talking to his mother. They're not together. She's not in the apartment anymore. She sold her half of the whatever they were investing in. Her parents are trying to tell her not to get back together with him until he's on medication. But at the same time, too, she's been off it for 3 months. Like, there's a lot. Okay, so I told him, you could, one, leave it alone and move on with your life. This has the highest probability of a healthy relationship with her in the future. Or you find someone else great and she won't even matter anymore. You cannot engage in any conversation with her or about her until she's healthier and ready to settle down the road, months down the road. Two, you can keep trying to force it, and there's a good chance that you two can get back together very soon, especially with the holiday loneliness. It'll be an unhealthy relationship wrapped inside her parents, her depression, your anxiety. It could go very badly. So by this, hey, let's just make it work. You know, let's get back together. You know, they were telling each other, I love you. What are you doing for Thanksgiving? Phone calls. But then he would like text her and comment her, text message her, and she wouldn't reply for hours. And, you know, he would say things like, you know, why aren't you saying you love me? I said, I love you. And that's all, like, my biggest problem is that he would say, I told him this. He would say, I love you. Not because he did. He would say, I love you in hopes of getting, I love you back, right? And I gave an analogy of, you know, let's just say I wanted to play in the biggest poker tournament in the entire world. You know, it's a $10,000 buy-in, right? If I'm going to do it just for me, not care about the outcome, you know, F it. It's just 10,000. It's an experience, once in a lifetime experience. I'm doing it just for me. Boom, I should do it, right? But if I'm going to be upset that I lose, or if I'm expecting to win money and I'm all about it for the results instead of just like the experience, I don't think that's a good idea. That's what I'm trying to tell him. Stop saying you love this girl. She knows you love her. If she doesn't know that, you know, it sounds like you guys need to reevaluate the whole relationship altogether. So yeah, you could keep trying to force it. There's a good chance you two can get back together soon, but it's going to go badly. You know, the types of thing where it's paranoia, worrying about her cheating, manipulation, anger, you two are irritable, blame, not good. The third option is you don't necessarily try to force or get into a relationship, but always be emotionally available to her. Continue to text her and give in to her push-pull mentality. Push-pull mentality is like her saying, I love you. Tell your son I love you to his mother. You know, doing that, but still blocking him on his email and his phone. But so, like, it's like a push-pull. It's so strange. It's such a strange dynamic. It'll suck for you. And you will continue to be anxious and always worry about what she's doing, or will she call. This has the least likelihood of the two of you getting back together and the highest probability of you getting hurt if she finds someone else that and she's leading you on. So hypothetically, let's just say you two say, you know, goodnight to each other every night and hey, how was your day? All that nonsense. And all of a sudden she's like, hey, I met someone. That sucks, right? You know, you weren't necessarily, you know, being like, hey, let's work on each other. Let's work on getting back together now, you know, but it's kind of just in limbo. And then all of a sudden she wakes up one day and she meets someone great. Like that sucks too. So fast forward, despite all that, he really wants to get back together with this girl. He really does. And, you know, at the end of the day, I want what's best for him. And I've been saying all along what I would do. I would not contact her. I would just keep not contacting her. I would not really engage with conversation with her mother. Really just get lost in a Netflix show. Keep exercising. Eat junk food every once in a while. But, you know, go to church, pray. Do what you got to do to make yourself feel better, right? But he really wants to get back together with her. And that's fine. And So he texts me, what specific steps can I take to best position myself with Kim again in the future? Well, I said Kim, but I meant Julia. Disregard that. Forget that. It doesn't matter. I didn't reveal my client's name, but her name is Kim. Whatever. Me. This is what I say. Well, I'm not really in support of you getting back together with her, especially soon, but who am I? If you want to get back together with her, here's what you could do. These are the steps. One, never initiate contact with her again until you're officially dating. I suspect this will be difficult based on what I've seen in recent weeks. Her not knowing what you're up to will make her more curious. Even if it's hearing from your mom, it's different than from you. So, you know, she's still going to grasp onto every life jacket and buoy when she's in the middle of the ocean, trying to grasp at everything. You know, what's check with her, his friends, check with his mother. How's Tom? What's he doing? Is he good? Hope he's well. Just check. I'm really worried about him, all that shit. But if he's just radio silent, I think that's going to have the highest probability of her getting her act together, realizing that she's in the wrong, realizing that she needed to change his ways. And it's so strange that you always want something that you can't have. Two, tell your mother you can't be affiliated with her as long as she's talking to your ex. If that ends, you'll be happy to go back to your old ways with her. I think this is a hard thing to do. Him and his mother don't necessarily have the best relationship. They don't live together, which is good. She lives kind of far away. But you need to set some boundaries with your mother. You know, I she wants what's best for you. You're her son. I get it. But it seems like she's having a lot of trouble realizing that it's just not okay to be in contact with this girl. Three, ask yourself if you're okay with being with someone who is not a good person. And this is where I hit him with the hard truth. Because deep down, I've been stewing on the entire thing and really thinking, it sounds like she's just not good. over this whole thing we've been in contact with for a couple weeks now, and I've been thinking, you know, can we really blame that she's not on her meds, this and that? Like, months go by apparently, and she still hasn't even like tried to find to find the right medication and her therapist. But you know, she's just up at 2-3 a.m. just, you know, liking his old photos and just being kind of like manipulative, and that's just not okay. So the third step I told him is to ask yourself if you're okay with being with someone who is not a good person. Julia might have used to be, and it sounds like, you know, she's great when she's in the right state of mind, but it's easy to be a good person when things are going right. She's reached out to your friend behind your back, badmouth you to her parents, block your phone number, email, Facebook accounts, and then unblock it 24 hours later. It's one big game. And not respect you enough to not chat with your mother. This behavior of talking to your mom is manipulative and evil. You should be disgusted and not want to be with her at all. But if you're okay with this, continue to do number one. This is me still talking to him. It has the highest probability of her missing you and or being jealous because misery loves company and she wants to bring you down with her during this dark time of hers. Once you two agree to date again, set some new boundaries and rules, such as keeping family involved less. So earlier and our conversation, the initial stages, I didn't necessarily say, you know, hop right back into dating. Go, you know, go get yourself, find some dates. I never said that. And ironically, right? Because that's kind of what, you know, what we do. We help find dates. You know, if I could help them get them dates, sure, you got it. That's what I'm here for. What I said is take a little bit of time for yourself. I don't think you have, it's not fair to, and you don't have the energy to go on a date right now. Even financially, I know it's not necessarily the most expensive thing, but let's just say you start going on 3-4 dates a week. That shit adds up. If, you know, you're going from working 3 jobs to none right now, you know, things are, your work, you're on hiatus for a little bit. You got to get yourself financially stable for just back on your feet just for a little while. And it's not fair to the girl too. You know, just coming fresh off a breakup and you're thinking about this girl every single day. And what? So you're just going to go on a date with this girl to go have a one night stand? One night stands happen, and I recognize that, but I think it's better if you are, if you're not feeling like shit. You know, I don't feel like you should use anybody. I don't think that's okay. So, he took some time. You know, he really said, you know, I can't stop thinking about her. I really want to get back on dating websites. And, you know, we're working together today. You know, I have him on Tinder, Bumble, Match. We're trying all different things. We're buying boosts. We're buying super likes. And we're trying to get him out there. And my whole thing is, if anybody asks about the relationship, yeah, be honest. Say you broke up recently and, you know, you're out there trying to meet someone great. She wasn't so great, and that you deserve better. I would not lie and say you haven't been in a relationship in years. No, by any means. But listen, if he's ready to go on dates, I don't know if he's ready or if he's not. You know, he knows, not me. So we're working together now, and I'm trying to help him. And I told him about featuring him on this podcast episode, and I want people to write back in, and I'm looking for feedback on what they hear about the same thing. You know, he's been a mess in the last month or so. He's tempted to write her every single day. He hasn't in three and a half weeks, which is good. He still talks to his mom occasionally. She's been more respectful, which is good. He wants to apologize to her parents. There's that. What else? Yeah, so, you know, oftentimes he's asking me what he should do, and my answer hasn't changed. Don't reach out to her. Don't reach out to her. Don't give in. Ignore her. If she contacts you, she will contact you. She's written his coworkers telling him about this whole thing and saying that he's not fit to be working right now. His coworkers. She is not in a good place, and nothing good will come from contacting her. So, yeah, it's a pretty heavy topic. I try to give as much detail as I can. I'm doing this all off the top of my head, minus some of the text messages I wrote him. But Please write in, tell me what you think about the entire thing. I know it's pretty heavy and it's a different shift of what my podcast is usually about. But yeah, it's pretty fascinating. Ultimately, I want what's best for him. And I think they could get back together. I don't think it's going to be for months down the road. And that's not going to change. And I don't think that they should get back together until months down the road. So please write in. Let me know what you think. For those of you with any other questions or anything else, concerns, if you think I didn't handle it the right way, write me. m.violet@personaldatingassistance.com. That's M as in Matthew, dot V as in Victor, I as in Igloo, O as in Octopus, L as in Lilac, E as in Elephant, T as in Thomas, T as in Thomas, E as in Elephant, at Personal Dating Assistance. That's A dot S dot S dot I dot S dot T dot A dot N dot T dot S dot com. PersonalDatingAssistance.com. Also, please check out our website for a full list of our services, rates, testimonials, articles, a list of our team, and their bios, and much, much more. That's PersonalDatingAssistance.com. Tune in next week for a new analysis. We'll go back to our old, maybe we'll do two things. One, if we get a shitload of emails, it's just going to be an email set. The whole show is going to be about emails, reading them. We didn't do any emails tonight in anticipation for next week. I've had maybe just a couple in the last, since my last episode, not too many, but I suspect this one will prompt many, many, many emails. Like I said, if you're feeling that I crossed any boundaries talking about his situation, I didn't reveal his name. I got his permission. He was on board with it. He's curious to see what people have to say too. So please write me. I want to hear what you think. Thank you very much for listening. Signing off. This is Matthew Violet. Hope you have a good week. Happy holidays. Bye-bye. Thank you.